Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. You've got me, Aaron Barnes, and Scott Hazelwood here, delivering the conversation that happened just this past Sunday.
Yeah, we're actually going to be
this past Sunday.
Yes, so this will be the second podcast to come out this week, and we are caught up after getting behind in like April.
No, it was like May.
Okay, May. Okay,
maybe it was April. Anyway,
but we're caught up, and that's important.
That is important. So Tyler Bridges hosted the Twitter chat this week, and it happened like days right before the vote.
Before the Oklahoma summer primaries.
Yes. It happened 2 days before the Oklahoma summer primaries. Fun fact, did you see the fun fact that came out?
I don't know. I've seen several fun facts.
Well, the one I like is more people voted in this primary 2 days ago than voted in the general election of 2016.
Yes.
Is that crazy?
That's really important.
Like, people got woke this year.
Yeah, to borrow a phrase from Andre Doughty.
Right.
I think, too, that I think the teacher walkout, you and I were kind of talking about this the other day, I think the teacher walkout kind of lit a fire that I think it turned a lot of things that are happening in our state capitol visible.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was a pretty timely one, and we've now got results in for some of the things. And so you want to dive into the chat?
Yeah, we can. I do want to share, though, too, with results. If
please.
For those that may not be in Oklahoma or aware that there were Oklahoma has this really interesting sort of rule process on increasing taxes where you have to have a 75% majority vote from both houses of our legislature.
Yeah.
And in the House of Representatives, there were 19 legislators who voted against that. And of those 19, only two kept their position.
Woo!
So some of them were termed out. Some of them are in runoffs. But of that 19, only two went through. So I thought that was really interesting.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So, okay. So there you go. Yeah. Now let's dive in.
Okay. So like we said, we were talking 2018 primaries. Question one, let's start with advocacy. Tell us something about advocacy, that you feel is important to share with others. And so what do you think about advocacy is important to share with others?
I think it's important that we, as teachers, in all the different ways that we interact with students, share what is going on in our schools. And it doesn't matter if it's good or bad or ugly. And I think our schools worked so hard to keep communities, not necessarily in the dark, but not as informed as they could have been about the financial issues that were coming down the pipe. Because you didn't hear about it until it was a disaster.
Right.
But our leaders had to have known that something was coming. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're not that in general. They're right. Not that poor. So it's just super critical for us as teachers, as school administrators, school board members, to share what's going on in our schools, real life, raw, exciting, harmful, you know, all of those things. Because people need to know what's going on. And so how can we advocate? We share our story, or somebody else is going to share it for us.
Right. I went with this Wendy S. Pratt tweet here, and she is at Wendy Pratt 234 on the Twitter. She says, I learned that new activists for and against act fast when grassroots advocates are forced into action, or activists, advocates, all right? Mm-hmm. She says, BTW, it took me a long time to figure this out and how to figure out how to put that, But Talanya Norfar made it seem important. Activists talk about it. Advocates live it. So I have to enunciate because my Oki terms would kind of make those sound a lot the same. But activists talk, advocates live.
Right.
I thought that was a good distinction because I had never thought about it like that before.
Yeah, I like how she said that. That's really good. I went with Mrs. M. Seafried. She is at Mrs. Seafried. She said, "Okla Ed Advocacy is talking to people about what is important to you and why, being knowledgeable about your topic, and continuing to monitor current events and policy changes. Get information from many sources." And just real quick, going back to this chat, it's quite possible that we have some new people mentioned in the Okla Said podcast today because we had several people who were running for public office participating. And my encouragement to them is, please come back regularly so that you know
what we're talking about. Yeah, don't just one and done us.
Yeah. Be aware with what we're doing.
Be informed.
We want you to be there.
Especially the budget and education will probably be something high on the priority list for a while.
Right.
It's you want to hear what your constituents are talking about.
Yeah, it's super important. And there have been legislators in the past, even ones that I like, am not often in agreement with, and they would sometimes engage Okla Ed in conversation about why they were choosing what they were choosing. And even if I strongly disagreed with that position, I appreciated the legislator's openness into sharing why he felt he needed to do what he did.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I can do that and get frustrated with him without going bananas, and that's important. So legislators, people running for office, please come participate in Okla Ed. We're a big deal.
Yep, I agree. Let me see. Question
two.
That's you.
That's me. This year was, of course, a big year in terms of advocacy. How do we continue the momentum from the walkout?
Good question. I think the walkout was the first portion of the snowball.
Yes.
This primary has made it even bigger. I think we've got to keep the momentum going, like you said, but I think it's moved past the walkout. I think the walkout was needed to make heads turn, but we're it's bigger than that now. I mean, this is more than just, golly, will people stop talking to me?
your fries are done again.
I know. I think that it's important that it's beyond, I think it's moved beyond teacher pay and education. While those things are still huge, like incarceration is now a very large thing being talked about.
Right.
And the overall budget, not just for education and incarceration, are largely being talked about again. And these things were not like just, you know, on the tip of the tongue conversations before that walkout. The walkout was needed to get those conversations rolling, but it's bigger than that now. We've got to keep it bigger than just education because Oklahoma's got a long ways to go. Am I wrong?
No, I agree with all that. And
okay.
No, you had a lot to say there, but you said important things because I think I've seen somewhere that the Oklahoma rate of incarceration is the highest in the United States.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's significant. I mean, so what can we do to help alleviate that? And I would argue that with Oklahoma funding being so extremely low, that there's maybe some relationship there. I don't know it for a fact, but I'm just tossing it out there. So
okay.
So I chose Craig McVeigh here. He is at McVeigh51. He said, continue to build real relationships. Lawmakers mostly rely on experts they can trust. Trust comes with consistent behavior over time. Most of us must realize they are not nails and we are not hammers. And I like that because there's a difference when you walk into a legislator's office trying to bang on him instead of having a conversation with them.
Right. Well, and I loved Talanya's tweet. She says, for the first time, I'm actually helping a candidate with door-to-door campaigning. This is huge. This is a huge help and one I encourage more people to do. Mm-hmm. You vote and get everyone you know to vote. I mean, just the being a part of a campaign, and it is huge. And you really get to see the passion of a person. You can tell whether or not they're telling you what you want to know or if they're being sincere throughout, because there's a big difference in showing up to a breakfast social where they're telling you, I'm for education and I'm going to help you guys. And then they go to some other person's breakfast social the next day and they're like, we've got to figure out a way to get those audits in and find out where the money is missing. You know, like if you're volunteering for a candidate, then you kind of know what they're about for real, not just right. what they tell you at that one social.
Right. You've had the opportunity to have some legit serious one-on-one interaction, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. Question three.
Question three. Let's switch to a more political side of things.
Oh.
As if we weren't there. what are your political non-starters as an Oklahoma, i.e. what is immediately unacceptable to you?
For this, I put the RSA is immediately unacceptable to me. I can't stand that particular thing. I listed something else too that was, and signing off on no tax pledges just because no taxes. I think you really handicap how you can fund government things that citizens expect to be funded if you just run through and sign off on no tax pledges. Do I want my taxes raised every year? I'm not advocating that. What I'm saying, though, is that is one way that we generate revenue.
Right.
So we need to be able to consider it.
Well, let me see here. Elizabeth E. Smith, and she is at E.E. Smith. 0814 on the Twitters. She says, a few deal breakers for me. Voted against or is against any teacher pay legislation and accompanying revenue measures. Against pro vouchers. Against doesn't consult or listen to actual educators when forming opinions. So this is largely education based, obviously, but this right. is an education chat. So. Right. You know, sometimes we get into this sound tunnel. Is that what's the word that people use there?
Echo chamber.
Echo chamber. Thank you. and all we hear about is what we care about. But I think that this one is very important because those are very, very simple things that we can do for, you know, changing the tone of education. And I am not for vouchers. I am completely for teacher pay raises. And I hate it when people try to make education decisions without consulting educators. So her tweet was 100% me too.
Sounds like it resonated.
It resonated. It was an echo chamber that I was okay to be in.
I chose Josh Flores, trophy husband and MED, but right now I think he's get lit again. So that Mr. Flores always changing up his mojo. He said anything conspiracy theory like, an example, anti-Common Core, etc., and making general uninformed promises. Example, eliminate state testing, etc. And I think I think he's onto something there. We can't just run through and say Common Core is crazy. We can't just run through and say, get rid of all state testing. We can't run through and say that this is the silver or golden bullet that's going to fix all the things. That just doesn't exist. But we can have healthy conversation about all of this.
Yeah.
And I think, to go back to what you said, I think it's important to include educators on educator policy.
Yeah.
I mean, gee willikers, man.
I mean, that goes back to that, what was it, initiative fatigue that we, you know, like, It's legislation fatigue. Oh my goodness. Are you serious? They're making more decisions about us and not including us.
Right. Because it's going to wind up with another initiative that we can't keep up with. And I think that's part of the frustration. So question four. We likely have a lot of okay, hashtag okay leg hopefuls watching and participating tonight. So from your personal perspective, rank the top three issues facing Oklahoma during the next legislative cycle.
And this is, again, where I was seeing, even in education, our conversations getting bigger than education. And I was super stoked. You know, we can't, legislators can't be a one issue legislator, or else, you know, their constituents aren't going to be happy. Right. And so diversifying our issues is huge. I went with Terry Saul on this one. She said diversified revenue sources for our state. And I think that's one thing. If we can figure out, it will affect every other place that we have issues as well.
Right. Terry Saul's a he, by the way.
Yes. Did I say she?
I think so.
Apologies, Terry.
But I agree with you. I think I would be a terrible legislator, even though I would want, you know, I harbor some desire to do that because crap. But I think I would be so tunnel vision-y on education that forget the rest of my constituents, because there's way more than that when you're an elected leader. There's way more than just the one thing.
My last House of Representatives leader went and had dinner with him one night, and his wife, thinking about, like, hey, you're terming out, you know, I'm thinking about stepping up to the plate. And he said he would back me if I wanted in, but he thought that I was too tunnel visioned also on education, and that you just, as a rep, have to be, you have to have more things on your mind.
Right.
And so I was like, you're right. And I don't want more things on my mind. So, so maybe someday, I don't know, serving at the State Department. I don't know. Anyway, who'd you pick on this one?
So I went with Andrew Richardson. He is at A. Richardson, Okla. He said, it's not rocket science. One, prioritize K-12 public education. Two, subordinate outdated thinking about our criminal justice system. And three, promote health, mental health.
Bam.
I could vote for that guy.
I could, yeah. Was he one that was running?
I believe so. The other thing that I would add in there is I've seen a lot of conversation about, you know, prioritizing K-12. Oklahoma is in a delicate situation with how they're handling higher ed.
Yeah, and I saw you earlier today.
You know, and if we aren't careful there, I mean, we're going to price higher ed or any post high school learning, we're going to price it out of the range of our ordinary average citizens, which are those very people that we want contributing to our workforce in a meaningful way. And so we just have to be careful on that. I get K-12. I totally get it. But we need to keep in mind higher ed. Okay, question five.
Okay, question five. What are your go-to resources for finding quality information about political issues facing Oklahoma? Share with us. My go-to resources, there are two Facebook groups I look at pretty hardcore. My husband and I talk about it a lot. I mean, a lot. The Twitters is usually pretty good at, sometimes if you want to get out of education, you have to search a little bit differently, or how I use Twitter anyway. I use Twitter for education only.
Right.
Anyway, but I went with Kyle Hildebrand here. He said, other colleagues in education, newspaper, radio, stakeholders, real news, fake news, need to hear all sides. And I thought that was pretty important because in a world of fake news now, even if it's fake to you, it might be real to somebody else, or the way they perceive it. And so just knowing what the other side thinks about things is important. It gives you a place to have conversations. You know, I know you think this way about this. Let me tell you why I think this way about that.
Right.
Anyway.
Those are good. I would say that Ben Felder for the Oklahoma does a really good job of presenting education news, and Andrea Yeager for Tulsa World. So if you're looking at the two main newspapers, those would be the ones that I think do a pretty fair job. And then you have other websites like Oklahoma Watch and NonDoc, which I think also just sort of present the facts, ma'am, as it were. So, Dr. April Grace, she is at Shawnee Sup. Like, yo, Shawnee Sup.
Sup.
Legislators I trust and have developed working relationships with over time. That's who she trusts. Colleagues, professional organizations, state leaders. Personal conversations go a long way to vet things. Crucial conversations are key. Listen, listen, read, listen, watch, listen and watch.
I really like that. God gave us two ears and a mouth on, you know, for a purpose, and I think it's because we're supposed to listen more than we speak.
You may be right.
Time we speak. Anyway, I don't know. My grandma used to say that.
Right. And I used to tell my students, and I don't know if this is any truth to this or not, but I used to spout it like it was truth. Like, when you engage your mouth and you start talking, your brain automatically turns your ears off so that you can't listen. So when you're speaking, you are unable to listen and process what's being heard. Now, probably that's not true, but it sounds good.
Really good.
All right, question six. Low voter turnout, except not this year.
Especially
among educators, is a persistent problem in Oklahoma. How can get more people and teachers to vote? And here's my thing.
Piss us off.
Yeah, I think that this is one of those situations where sometimes you just don't have the respect you need to have for the privilege of voting. Like, look at countries that don't ever get to vote, and all of a sudden they have a free election. Turnout's like 97%.
Yeah.
And we're very apathetic, and we've got to understand that, especially in Oklahoma, in local elections especially, it can seem a little more hazy when you're talking about a presidential election because of the Electoral College, but especially in local elections, like, every vote matters, every single one. And I see that you've highlighted I chose a bad tweet.
Yeah, it's all right. I think
I'm reading that tweet on the next one.
Okay. I think it's important. I mean, we had of people that are guaranteed in places, new people in these places. So we had a group of people put together a list of apples. They even created an amazing, like, Find My Apple.
Right.
People who are pro-education that were running. So you could put in your zip code and find a pretty vetted group of individuals that were pro-education. So that if you wanted to vote outside of party, well, I mean, not outside of party platform, but if you wanted to find the person that was the most pro-education, you could. I'm sure we can use outside of party platform, you know, with this next election.
A real quick caveat to that is, even though it's headlined by one individual, there were a lot of people working on it, like 30-something.
Yeah, no, and she put out the list of people that were working on it. It was a pretty diverse group.
The other thing is, unless you have a voting record, it can be a little tricky trying to discern the educational aspects. So, I mean, those are two things to just kind of keep in mind.
But you have to have conversations,
right,
and I think that people were having real conversations.
Right.
So of the group of individuals, I don't remember how many we had running that were apples, but six solid apples are in now, and we've got a ton of runoffs that are happening in August because you have to have a 50% or more majority vote to solidify your place in that office.
Right.
So there will be runoffs happening in August where more apples could get into those places as well.
I saw an interesting stat on that, and I can't remember if it was from New York Times or something. So it was a news source that you could consider reliable.
Sure.
And I think it said there were 100 educators, retired educators, or immediate family member of educators that were in the primaries, and over 50 are still in the running.
Wow. And that's huge, man. Yeah. That is going back to the question about the walkout. Like, education is important.
Yeah,
and
it is.
Can't keep it on the back burner anymore.
Right. Should, you know, like the tweet that came out during the walkout, funding education shouldn't be a big deal that we celebrate. It should be a normal part of the thing. Okay.
Right. Well, Tyler Bridges was answering his own questions too, and I like it when the moderator does that. It, you know, you get to see their side of things as well. So he said,
but hold on, read question seven first, because what he said matches up with question seven.
Oh, I thought we hadn't given the low voter turnout thing. We didn't give a question for six, answer for six, right?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, give your question for six. I was looking one step ahead.
I hadn't given the answer. You don't get to answer this one because you picked a wrong answer. But Tyler Bridges said for question six, more people have registered to vote in Oklahoma this year than ever in history. We must hold everyone accountable to vote. Be that friend. Text them, call them, drive them. I was so pleased at how many people I saw on my Facebook and Twitter feed, you know, being that person saying, I did it. Now it's your turn. Show me your pictures. Like, and Facebook even did a thing like, it's primary day. Here are all the pictures of your friends voting. And I think that was a Facebook thing. I don't know that anybody put that together, but I thought it was really important. And maybe that was some positive peer pressure that was happening, and I loved it.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but I was sure glad it happened.
Yeah. All right, question seven.
Question seven.
What is the number one fake news that you hear from others when discussing Oklahoma ed political issues? Okay, and the person I picked on this one.
There are representative. A variety of things to choose from.
There were a lot. But this is important to me as a Republican, as a red person. I picked my representative whom... we're going to be tagging him in this, right?
Yes.
You can call me back, Mark. I do look forward to you calling me back this year. Okay? Just saying. but his tweet was, Republicans don't support public ed. And I think he's right on that. I do think that there are plenty of Republicans out there that do support public ed. I know of a ton of teachers that are Republican as well, who also have a stake in public ed. So I don't like the blanket statement that Republicans don't support public ed, and I'm with him on that. But Mark, call me back this year.
Bang. So I had a couple on here. One, Tyler Bridges said that 65% to the classroom, whatever that means, will solve a single problem we have in Oklahoma education or the OK Leg. And I think what he's referring to is funding of the classroom that's dependent upon 65% of those monies going specifically to the classroom, like teacher pay or supplies or things like that. And I think the question on that is, what's considered the classroom? Because we have people that are vital to the education of a child, be it a counselor or a media center specialist or librarian or a variety of those people that don't count in some of the ways that this 65% is accounted for.
Right.
And they're just as important. Imagine your student going to a school with no librarian because the librarian wasn't under the 65% rule.
Well, and there
so dang.
We've talked about this before. At the last public school I worked at, we had to share the librarian. The librarian wasn't there all the time. The librarian was there 2 days a week.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I don't know if it was just the way that that library worked, but on the days that the librarian wasn't there, the library was closed. It was dark in there. It wasn't even open.
Right.
So that's a problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when you're trying to raise RSA and everything else.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
Holy cow, all of these actions have consequences.
Right. Bang on.
Sorry. Who was your second one?
So Marilyn Bell, who is at Bell for Norman, and she said that school consolidation and more frequent audits will solve all of our funding problems. Hashtag fake news. Hashtag Oklahoma Ed. Hashtag OK Leg. Hashtag Oklahoma Ed votes. And to address both of those things, sometimes consolidation is necessary. I get that there's an argument for that. I understand it. But in a lot of places in Oklahoma, our schools are the community. And so if you consolidate that, you know, now you're looking at a student that's on a 45-minute one-way trip someplace, potentially.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't know that that's a good fix. You know, maybe a county-wide system where you know, people are like, well, there's 500 different superintendents. Well, they all make a different amount of money. And the superintendents in the smaller school districts, they're not just a superintendent. They're a bus driver, substitute teacher, lawnmower, roofer, plumber, electrician. That's like, cool. Yeah, you know, they truly get no break. Right. But if you want to make an argument for going to 77 districts, one per county, you know, maybe that's got some merit. I don't know. But with all of the account of quote unquote accountability that has to happen, I don't look around and see superintendents that with feet on their desk wondering what to do next.
Right.
I mean, so even if you have consolidation, there's still the accountability aspect, which means data has to be collected, which means somebody's got to do it. And in Oklahoma, that somebody usually has to be an administrator for a school district, which now makes them an assistant superintendent. So I don't know. And then, we've had what, 8 or 12 years of let's audit. And how many big time, realistic, super go through all the books audits have we had to really find all the waste? You know, if you want to do it so bad, do it and get it over with. But we're pretty much out of money in education in Oklahoma.
Ah, amen.
Did I rant? I'm sorry, was I ranting? Yeah. I think I was yelling at my microphone. Question 8. I'm going to need a margarita and it's not even noon. Give any OK Leg hopefuls watching the reasons why education should be a top priority during their legislative career. I mean, do you want a well-informed workforce? Well-educated workforce?
Yeah. Chuck Pack says, poverty in our state is crippling. Want to break the cycle of poverty and provide hope for our future? The path to prosperity passes through Oklahoma public schools. Everything passes through our schools. Invest in our schools and invest in our future.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Like you may have found a good tweet, but Chuck sums it up right there for me.
Chuck did a good job. So I'm with Kel Brown, yes, who is at Action Picks for You, said a good education leads to all things that will make Oklahoma more successful. Education/Votech or career tech or however you want to do that gives choices to be gainfully employed, which equals lower incarceration and welfare, which equals companies bring jobs to states with good education because they can find qualified employees. Shazam.
Yep. Shazam.
There you go. And these are things to consider as we move forward. So even though we're talking, you know, post-2018 primaries, this is a conversation that can occur virtually every time we have an election.
Which will happen again in August, which will happen again in November.
Right. So big things.
Exactly. Well, boom sauces.
Yeah, boom sauces. You go first because I've got two.
Okay. Well, I really liked this one. Mrs. Henley, who is at Team Henley, y'all.
I wish she would participate more often because I love it when she does.
I know. Please come back. She says, I really think once you take the Matrix pill, there's no going back. Your eyes are open. We just need to keep networking so we're all informed. And I Oklahoma Ed opened my eyes, right. You know, getting involved here and being involved in these Twitter chats. Some of them are about professional development. Some of them are about, you know, PBL and how do we gamify. But some of them really are about the issues that face education. And I was not as informed as I was until I got into Oklahoma Ed.
Yeah, and her tweet came in response to question 2 about the advocacy.
Yes.
Okay, so I had two. The first one was from Kevin Heim, who's a superintendent in Clinton. He said, Oklahoma Ed needs to vote. Years past have recorded teachers vote 30% of the time, not enough to make a difference. And that's where your legislator can look at you and go, I hear you, but meh. Because there's no accountability from the voter in that regard.
Well, and you can say all you want, but your actions speak louder than words. We've heard it a million times.
Yeah. If you don't vote, you can't fuss because you didn't contribute your voice to the process.
Exactly.
And then I went with Maureen Haynes, and she is at Maureen Haynes. She said, Oklahoma sits at the top of the charts in the United States for incarceration and at the bottom for education. Coincidence? I think not. Solving our education shortfalls would benefit citizens of all socioeconomic levels. And here's where I come back to an investment. We are so short-term lookers, just by nature of being human, that it's hard for us to invest. It's especially in America, it's hard for us to look forward on an investment for whether, I don't care if it's retirement or whatever. We're a culture of instant gratification, right? Like, I want what I want and I want it now.
Yeah.
I want my Apple Watch now. I don't want it on my birthday in 2 months. I want it now. And that's what education
is.
We'll
get Amazon and get it now.
Yeah.
It'll be here in 2 days.
Right. Delivered by drone. And that's where education, it's an investment. Like, it takes some years of this to work, but there's a payoff at the end of that. So we have to treat it in that way. You front load that investment so that it can continue to grow in perpetuity. Did I say that right? In perpetuity?
So I don't know if it's going to translate as well as it does in my head. Sometimes things in my head make way more sense to me than they do to anybody else. But my husband's grandpa used to say that he died a millionaire. Like, the guy had some money. He said, you don't make your money when you sell things. You make your money when you buy things. And I think that he was a very smart investor. And if you're waiting for the payoff at the end, then you're not investing wisely. And I think I think it translates, because if we invest now in our education, then that pays off better at the end than if we're just expecting them to come out well now.
Right.
Okay, edit all of that out. That did not make sense to you.
No, you're like, I totally got it. I hear what you're saying. And I agree. I just think that yeah. I mean, it's going to take time.
It's going to take time. A lot of precious time. It's going to take patience and time.
Moment of silence for George Harrison and the Beatles.
What? That's not the Beatles, is it?
George Harrison. He's a Beatle.
That was him. Oh yeah. My goodness. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. So there's the Oakland Ed Chat. Hey, Aaron, what's coming next week? I don't know. Do you?
I don't know. Hold on. Let me see if I can figure it out.
I just looked.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Unless you've got some ESPN going from Ann Beck, her most recent tweet on it has a big old TBA on there.
TBA.
So, nope. To be allotted, to be announced, oh, torn Jeez. Between animals.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, Tyler Bridges refuses to answer my questions about whether or not he wants to interview. So,
dang.
Sorry, Ed, tweet out to him. He must be saving babies right now and birthing whales.
Sounds,
wait, I got it backwards.
Sounds to me like I need to release this episode before the interview is done. Dang. Okay.
Tweet to Tyler Bridges and tell him you want to hear from him.
He usually has good things to say, so I would agree with. I would retweet that previous statement.
And hashtag it with saving babies.
Oh my goodness. Saving babies. One-handed. While delivering food to those that need it.
Well, and he's an Okie, so he's obviously got a cigarette in his mouth and shifting gears in his pickup truck as well. And all at the same time.
Hey, Tyler, quit roasting your beans. Hook up with Aaron. Give us an interview.
Bam!
There you go. All right.
Okay, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
I got a mouth full of food.
Yeah, you could have swallowed, man.
You talk for a minute.
Yo, yo, yo.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.